Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people doing the most interesting things in the worlds of innovation, business design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlan Esau. Today we're joined by two brand new label mates who are joining the roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. So let's say a quick hello to Ed Mehmet. Ed is a commercial and futures strategist who helps large businesses surface value hidden in plain sight, and then are able to build real ventures from that. Also, welcome to Ed Parham, with nearly two decades at Space Syntax, operating at the intersection of architecture, data science, and strategic planning. Ed sees cities not as static plans, but as complex, evolving systems of behavior, infrastructure, and opportunity. Spotify's latest breakout band, the Velvet Sundown, has sparked a bit of intrigue and outrage, mostly because they might not actually be a real band or even human. AI starts quietly slipping into our playlists and timelines. It raises sort of a bigger question around creativity. And can AI actually make something people genuinely enjoy? Or are we just lowering the bar for what we call entertainment? I'll open that up to you. All three of you. Is the bar being lowered?
The story sort of developed a little bit from that article because they have come out and said that they've admitted it, basically, that it was using a tool. I think it was Sona, the tool that was used. And I actually listened to some of the music over the weekend, and I could completely understand or see how someone would let that slip through one ear and out the other if they had it on a random playlist. But the thing that I wanted to add that I thought was hilarious was the fact that they initially doubled down from that Tech Radar article and said, "We're real people, reach out to us for an interview." And then when they gave that interview, they just said, I used a tool. So they kept the facade up until the very end, which I gotta respect.
It's the lip sync sort of controversy of the early 90s all over again. Early 90s, early 2000s. It's Milli Vanilli all over again, in just a worse way.
I was talking to someone about Milli Vanilli last week, unrelated to this. I mean, it's interesting, this conversation about authenticity versus originality, isn't it? And there's, I think there's also people like different things for different reasons. And there's like almost any film or artwork or book or something will have layers which are to it, and there'll be references to other things, and there'll be bits of a whole series of things which are all coming together at the same time. And there'll be some people will really love that. Some people will get the references and they'll think that's really clever and they'll enjoy it even more. Other people won't know that, but they can still like it for what it is. So, I mean, in some ways, I think if people like it, then that's kind of okay, isn't it? They like it and that's their thing. I mean, I get also this thing of I remember being in something about a year and a bit ago where it was about technology and it was about security. And one of the things that was happening in the conference was that somebody had written a piece of, they'd been doing this experiment where they had been making classical music and then they'd been generating AI classical music, and they were mixing the two things together and trying to get people to vote to work out at what point is this human generated and at what point is it AI. Nobody could tell any difference. So they were very, very difficult to tell apart even then. But I think this thing is that as long as things are learning from a kind of a training data set, you're probably only going to get small variations of what's in that training data set. You're not going to get something that's a complete step change or something that's completely new. If it's so new, nobody recognizes it, they'll say, the thing's gone wrong. It's kind of glitched or it's an error. Actually, that might be the most creative thing it could do, is to make something that you don't even recognize as music or the thing that it's trying to make. So yeah, it's a really kind of interesting conversation, isn't it?
And it's also sort of the idea of the formula, right? Like you could break down every Taylor Swift song to be the exact same formula. Is that authentic then, if you're just kind of plug and playing, or is that you're just kind of doing the algorithm is helping you build it. It's very same like AI.
Well, if, what if there's a team of people that are making all of the songs that you think about? What, I'm not saying that that's what Taylor Swift is doing. Damien,
I will say I do. That's probably what Taylor Swift is doing.
Good interview with Damien Hirst, probably like 20, 25 years ago, where he was talking about the difference between art and architecture. And he was saying, look, if you look at an look at a building, you know the architect hasn't built it all. So when you look at the work of an artist, he would have a whole team of people that were doing spot paintings and would move people on because they got too good at doing spot paintings or they got too recognizable as doing it. And this thing of, well, actually, what is this kind of art form that you're trying to get to anyway? Does it matter if it's made by lots of people or one person? Does it then matter if it's AI or a combination of AI and lots of people, but there's one person at the top of it? So there's, I think probably it's giving us a lot of, it's like this mirror back, isn't it? Of, it obviously means that we think music has to be this original thing produced by a person and shouldn't be this thing that's kind of generated in this way that seems inauthentic.
I wonder what's behind that though. I wonder if, you know, music that connects to an audience is often about lived experience and truth. You know, in some ways it's a bit like a good joke, you know, like every the joke hits you, but you turn around and everybody else is laughing and you think, gosh, I thought I was the only one who did that or thought like that, right? It's got real insight into it, lived experience. So I think that side of it for me is like, I think AI can create meaningful content because in the same way that, you know, synthetic roses smell better than real roses, right? And the fragrance houses might use synthetic roses because it performs better, you know, like, so there are weird things like that where the synthetic version is better than the one in our minds that's from nature. Like they're few and far between, but there are examples of it. But I think the thing is, like, therefore, what, you know, like, you get into sort of philosophical debate around just because we can do it, you know, should we? And we can do it, but at what cost, you know? So I think if music is one of those spaces where we say this is about, you know, human outpouring and the human condition and, you know, humans, you know, telling stories and sharing their lived experience, then obviously you'd go, well, how can an AI do that? And why would you bother? Right? If it's around popular music and patterns and going, AI can learn the back catalogue, then AI is just behaving exactly the same way a music producer behaves and someone in a commercial team. So again, don't have a problem with using it as a coaching tool to go based on last year's data, right? This happened. But the other thing is, most people don't realise in the music industry, there's already massive data-driven algo sets where every single thing to do with an artist is recorded and measured daily. Hourly, probably, right? Including their social media feeds and what they get back and their audience engagement. Like, everything is tracked at the moment. And the same thing in the movie industry with Synalytics. So there's loads of this robo-assisted or algo-assisted decision-making happening all the time. So I guess the question is, like, where do you draw a line? Where is it okay and where isn't it? But tech's always moved ahead of legislation, right? Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, I think it sort of comes down to a transparency thing. I think if it was labeled, and I think this is same sort of like in terms of sampling in the music industry or when we give credit to writers and things like that or influencers, that becomes a part of the lore of the song. So it really, for me, I feel the transparency is the issue. So tell me it's AI generated. If I still like it, you know. Okay, that's probably fine. But, it, you know, have the category and have the option and have the ability to not be consuming that. Because I think where we are now, we aren't really being given the option not to consume AI content, whether that's just a simple search on Google or, you know, bigger things like what we're watching on Netflix. So I think that for me is the key component, is give me the option, give me the choice, and I can decide if I want to jump in or just kind of go off for me.
Yeah, and but that leads into the wider scope of like Spotify in general and why it's even rewarding AI artists such as these. because of that lack of transparency, obviously, you know, the main thing that everyone's been talking about. And I wonder why it's the specific artist that's been jumping out, because AI artists like these have not been new on Spotify. They've been around for quite a while. This one's deliberately been targeted because obviously it's taken money away from other artists is the argument, and on a platform where already there's barely any money floating around on a per stream basis because it's been so devalued. I do wonder why particularly the Velvet Sundown's been made an example of, even though I don't disagree with the fact that it's been made an example, it should be, because it's, I was saying it was passable before, it is crap, but it's like, how you're right. You're right in terms of like, it should be declared as transparently as possible, but then I do think it shouldn't be rewarded in terms of pay the same amount for artists should be. It's like when I went on their Spotify profile, like, I don't know, like the immediate red flag was there in terms of like how much output they had within like shockingly like 6 months. They put out two albums in like 6 months, and I was like, that's not uncommon for an artist, but like after no back catalogue or EPs or singles, I just thought it was quite fascinating, but yeah.